Welcome, everyone, to Paranormal Roundtable. I'm your host, Josh Turner, and with me is Anthony and Tony, and this is PRT. PRT is obviously the initials for Paranormal Roundtable. I had somebody actually ask me what that meant.
Wow, you have to explain that?
Yes, and I'm not afraid to, like, bag on this person because they became quite rude when I...
Did they ask you how to dial 911?
I was like, you didn't know what that was? That probably would have been the next question. And they're like, you don't have to be rude. And I'm like, well, you're stupid.
How do you spell FBI?
What's the number for 911?
So, yeah, and then it just kind of devolved from there. But, yeah, so we have a show for you tonight, but what we're going to talk about first, let me get to the prelims here. We do have a Facebook group on go join. It's free to join, and it's Paranormal Roundtable group. It's about the community and whatever the stories. And then we have a paranormal prayer group, and we have a holistic healing group. It's what else we got? The PRT fan page, Wolf Turner, Panda
meme pages,
all kinds of stuff. We just go join the groups, man. We got all kinds of stuff going on, and then. We have the Patreon. Now, the Patreon, but before we say Josh Turner, PRTpodcast.com, that's how you can, send me your stories so we can tell them, which is what this person did. So, we're going to get into that, but the Patreon, there's a $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 tier. You probably already heard this if you listen to the podcast regularly. It's a great way to support the show. The $30, the $10, $20, and $30 are all the same, except the $30 actually gives you an extra book. So you get two autographed books, and then the $40 tier, you get one of my books, and then the $50 tier, you get both of my books, and of course, you get a book from another author, and you get like a t-shirt, some other stuff. So it's a good way to support the show, and after 2 months, you can become eligible to get a swag bag, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other thing I got to tell you, is we have, if you're not listening to us on the on YouTube, which a lot of you don't, because I see there's a lot of people from the other platforms that listen to us, and they tend to not listen to the live stream. Live stream is Friday and Sunday, right?
Yeah.
9 o'clock on Friday, 7 o'clock on Sunday. Friday, we always have a guest. Sunday, we don't. We just retell people's stories, which is what we're doing here tonight on Tuesday. And then we have the podcast episode on Thursday. So Tuesday and Thursday is on YouTube and then 15 platforms. Thursday's episode is always a guest. And it's an hour-long podcast episode, right? So pretty simple, pretty basic. What we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to do a potluck. But I'm going to start off with a dogman story. And this one was pretty messed up, man. This guy... He claims that, let me just set the stage here. This happened south of Falfurrias, which is in South Texas. And if you've ever been out, there's nothing out there. And this guy, he'll go by, I'll call him Jose. It's not his real name. But Jose was hunting, and I guess he was 17 years old and 2 days shy of his 18th birthday. And he went out to the deer lease, you know, it was years ago when this happened, and he was with his friend. It was him and his friend named Kevin, and they went out hunting, and they had heard stories of a hairy, upright, you know, walking creature. He thought it was more of like a Bigfoot creature, but knowing now, he knows it wasn't. It was a dog man. And him and his friend encountered this creature. They were out hunting, and it was November, and it was late in the hunting season, and they wanted a bag of buck, and so they went out there, and they thought maybe, you know, there had been some deer had been seen in the area, and the two seasons before they hadn't any luck, and so he thought maybe the deer aren't here. It is, what's going on. At one time, at that deer lease, there was a lot of deer, and then. Over the years, the population just seemed to kind of dwindle, and they thought maybe there was some sort of predator that was taking them out. Had no idea that it could be something of like what it was, what it truly was. So him and his friend Kevin were out there, and it was getting dark, and they're hearing this howling noise that's coming from the distance, and they could not figure out for the life of them what this was. It didn't sound like a coyote. It wasn't a wolf. It sounded like the cross between someone screaming and a wolf howling. And wolves don't sound like that. They don't sound like people screaming. And they said that at one point, they were out there for 2 nights. The second night, whatever this was, got closer. And then as it got closer, it began to make kind of a whooping noise. Now, those that know about Bigfoot and Dogman, you're going to think, well, that sounds like a Bigfoot. It makes that whooping noise. And then they heard like stuff being moved around and crashing through the brush. They both had flashlights, and when they were shining it in the area of where this creature was coming from, something really odd happened. And I've heard of this before, but it's not a common thing, but their flashlights both went out. Now, that to me is not a coincidence.
Yeah.
You know, your flashlights are both out. Now, one of these guys lives down in the valley, down the Rio Grande Valley, and he was down near Edinburgh, and he was visiting his uncle. And right outside of there, right outside of the city of Edinburgh, his uncle owned a little bit of land years ago, and he had a couple of tanks that were stocked with fish. And he encountered a creature that I 100% had to be a Bigfoot, but it was tall, skinny, kind of rangy looking creature. And it was in the tank, and it was going down into the water and coming back up and grabbing fish. And he went out there with his uncle, which would be his great uncle, to, you know, they have these feeders, these fish feeders that spray the pellets, you know?
Yeah.
And they went out there to check them and add fish food to it. And they see this creature. And his grandfather immediately pulled out a rifle and started shooting at it. And he thought, wow, this is really aggressive. Why is my uncle doing this? This is, you know, and he said, these things will kill you. His uncle told him that. His uncle had obviously no love for this creature and had seen it before. And so there's two stories we're going to tell here. We're going to tell the uncle's story of great uncle of why he felt the way he did and what happened to him. And then we're going to tell the story of what happened to Jose and Kevin. So this isn't the first upright creature he had encountered, but he had never seen one like this one. And it had a supernatural element to it because the flashlight didn't work. When we pointed the flashlight in the direction of this creature, of the sound that was being made, that didn't work. When he was 13, that's when he encountered this Bigfoot-type creature with his great-uncle. When he went out there, he was working with his great-uncle for the summer, and he was staying out there, and his grandfather had died in a car wreck. And so his great-uncle was kind of like his surrogate grandfather, which is something I can relate to because my great-aunt was kind of like my surrogate grandmother. And so I thought that was kind of neat. We had that in common. So we were talking, and he said, you know, this is back in the early 90s, and he said, you know, I never thought – you know, for a minute that exists. What else could exist? It never was like a doubt in my mind that there were other things out there. He's like, but a werewolf looking creature? I just did not believe that. I did not believe that for a second. And he thought what he was dealing with, which when they were sitting in the deer stand, you know, north of where he was raised, he said there was something out there that was moving around the brush and we could see the shadow of it, and you could shine the flashlight anywhere and it would work. But when you shine the flashlight in the direction of this creature,
like an abyss,
it just wasn't working. And he would see this black mass, and he goes, there was moonlight too. He goes, and you could see it like moving through the trees. Well, eventually, you know, nightfall came and they didn't try to make it to the truck. They were about 2 miles. And the guy that was supposed to pick them up, their friend Tony, did not show up.
Sounds like me.
Yep. I was going to say that's all too familiar.
Yeah. So he was supposed to pick them up. Well, guess what? He fell asleep. So he went back to the truck and fell asleep. And this was the age before cell phones. They had them, but they were just like, you know, these big, massive, bulky things. And he said, you know, our friend didn't pick us up. He just left us out there. It's like 1994 or something like that. And he goes, dude, we're sitting out there and my friend is just, he won't stop cussing Tony. He's just like whispering. And we knew this creature was out there. He goes, and then about 4 o'clock, He's like, I got really tired. We hadn't heard or seen anything in a couple of hours. We were supposed to be taking turns, keeping watch. And my friend, he was supposed to be watching. My friend falls asleep. He goes, we both wake up and it's about 4:30 in the morning. And we hear something bumping against the deer stand, which was literally just some plywood thrown together with a metal roof. And he said that this thing, eventually, the movement or whatever that was to his left at that point where the door entrance was, he's like, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this thing move around and I know that it's touching the wall. He's like, so I leveled my gun in that direction and immediately the sound moved to the right. Like, you know, this was like an 8 foot build, you know, 8 foot by 4 foot building. And he was like, dude, there's no way that that thing could have just moved 8 foot like instantaneously. So then my thought was there must be more than one of these things. And then he goes, we had this little opening where we could look out of. So we closed it, you know, so we were in there enclosed. And he's like, dude, this thing is not, you know, it's not going to protect us from whatever's out there. Well, sure enough, that whole left side just caved in. Like, and the roof just kind of slid down and kind of made it into like a triangle. He goes, and we're stuck in there. He's like, the only way out is to kick the plywood out, which he goes, we could do. He's like, but we're trapped. We're stuck inside of this building. He's like, so I started telling my friend, Kevin, I said, dude, I've seen these things before. He's like, when I was 13, it looks like an ape-like creature, but with a weird mouth, you know, and had like these weird teeth. And he was describing, and I said, weird teeth, like, is it the one you, when I was 13, it had fangs. It had fangs like a baboon, but it had like a bit of a snout. He's like, but it was tall and skinny and brown, real light brown color, or reddish brown. And it had no hair on its face, but it just had like a protruding like jawline. And he said, I told my friend, I was like, I've seen these things before, man. They just look like apes or whatever. So he thought that's what it was. He's like, and then his friend, who obviously had fallen asleep and woken up, whatever, he said, no. He's like, I got to look at this thing. He's like, I got to look at this thing. And, you know, right before I dozed off, you know, this thing, I think what I saw looked wolf-like. He said, two things happened at that point. He said, one, I got really, really mad at my friend for having seen it and fallen asleep. He's like, I was really, really pissed. He goes, I was mad. He goes, and then the other thing, I was thinking wolf-like. Then I thought, this guy's, he's lying. He's full of crap. There's no such thing. He says, nah, dude, it's a Bigfoot, man. These are Bigfoot. They look like monkeys or apes or whatever, you know? And he said, the one I saw looked like a baboon. And I told him, I said, well, a baboon's not really a monkey, but yeah. So he said, oh, okay. Cause I don't think he, you know, he really understood that was the difference between monkeys and apes, whatever. This guy's a country boy and he's like, I didn't know the difference, you know?
Yeah.
So I explained to him, you know, and he said, this thing looked ape-like, but kind of like a Neanderthal throwback type man. That's what the way he described it. But I wouldn't even say it was a Neanderthal. I mean, it might have been some sort of undiscovered man-like species, but not, you know, but he said it was very much flesh and blood, the Bigfoot that he saw, it was in the water. And as his uncle shot at it, it went into the water, and then it just burst out of the water and just leapt onto the land, like just weird. It was like something out of a movie. And then it ran through the brush real quick.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And his uncle was firing at it, but he don't think it hit it. And his great uncle told him, he goes, this is what he told him. He said, these creatures are all over this area. He goes, you got to be real careful. He's like, I've seen them since I was a kid. He goes, that's the third time I've seen one in my life. Of course, his uncle that time was already 72 years old. And he said, me being a 13-year-old kid, you know, my great uncle's telling me, my grandfather's brother, he's telling me, you know, that this things exist, whatever. And he's like, you got to be real careful. They're out there. You know, he goes, this is the third time in my life I've come across one. And he's like, the first time he came across one, he was on horseback, his great uncle. And it chased him, and it managed to knock the rear legs out from underneath the horse, and he fell, and he managed to get off of the horse or get thrown clear of the horse before the horse could land on him. And he said that this thing attacked and killed his horse. So this was a Bigfoot type creature.
Well, so how did he get away from that?
Well, he took off running while it was a killing.
He was distracted by the horse.
And so he says, I took off running a couple miles back, you know, to the ranch house where he was working. He was working for a family. And he said that his great uncle had no love for these creatures. They're killing one of his horses, which is pretty, you know, bad. So he tells us, anyways, back to what was going on, you know, the current situation. You know, he's telling his friend Kevin, he's like, you saw this thing and then you went to sleep? And he's like, dude, I'm so exhausted. And he's like, it's true. We were up with maybe 3 hours of sleep for 2 days.
Yeah.
And we were trying to catch a buck, you know. And he says, dude, at that point, the hunting was just like, they didn't care. They just wanted to get the hell out of there. And he was like, I was never going to go hunting again. He goes, and I haven't. And he's a little younger than me. So he said, you know, the thing that really scared him, that really got him about this whole situation was that he thinks that there might have been more than one of them. And his friend was not showing up. So as far as they knew, their friend could have already been attacked and killed by one of these things. They didn't know. And then they kind of started to argue, whispering to one another. He goes, I'm telling you, these things look like apes. He goes, no. The thing I saw had a wolf head on it, and it was black. And he's like, well, that makes sense because, you know, what we saw by the light of the moon was dark. It was black. And he's like, you remember how we shined our light at it? He goes, it was moving really quickly. He goes, I got a glimpse of it before the light went out. And he goes, and it was definitely black. And at that point, he was like, okay, yeah, maybe it is wolf-like, whatever. He goes, but what do we do about it? Well, obviously, with one side of the building caved in, there's not a whole lot you're going to do other than maybe just sit there and wait for it to come through. So they sat there and they sat there and they sat there, and finally daylight came. And they could hear, you know, birds and stuff starting to make noise. And so they felt confident enough that there was nothing out there at that point. And so they began to kick their way out of, through the plywood on the far side that was still not collapsed. And then at that point, their friend pulls up in his Dodge because we were both very, very angry at our friend. And he goes, we got out of the deer stand. He's like, and we're getting in the truck, and he goes, we're both cussing our friend. We're like, Tony, you're a piece of crap. You just left us. You didn't come get us. You know, what were you doing? We're out here being attacked by some kind of creature. And their friend said, yeah, I was awakened by something rocking my truck. He's like, and I looked around. I didn't see anything. He goes, so then I got out of the truck, and I went to walk around and around. He goes, and whatever it was, whatever, when I was on one side of the truck, it would be on the other side. He goes, so eventually I look underneath the truck and I see these weird looking dog-like legs. And he goes, and it was on the driver's side. He goes, so I jumped into the passenger side and locked the doors and then slid over to the driver's side. He goes, when I did, this werewolf looking creature popped up into the window. This was broad daylight. He said, this was broad daylight, man. He said, dude, and that popped up into the window, this blackish, grayish looking creature. He goes, dude, and it literally like tried to like take this weird looking arm, like this forearmed it and like hit my windshield. He's like, and the windshield's cracked, like it's messed up. And they saw the windshield messed up, and then he gunned it. He said, I got out of there and I headed towards you guys. And I thought, oh no, I fell asleep. He goes, I see this thing. It doesn't pursue me. It doesn't do anything. It's just standing there, like on this ridge. And then he takes off and he goes to get them. So that's the pretty much the story. Like, I can't really say that Jose saw the creature because he really didn't, but 100% positive that it was a dog man because his friend Kevin saw it. And then his other friend Tony saw it. And they both said that it was a wolf-like creature, about 7.5-8 foot tall, but it was kind of skinny, you know, but it had a giant head. I should say the lower body was skinny and the upper body was big. but it just looked out of proportion and weird looking, you know? And he actually made a joke saying it looked like it skipped leg day. He's an avid weightlifter like me. So we hit it off and we talked about that. And I told him, I said, what do you think, you know, like, I mean, like having had a Bigfoot encounter and a dogman encounter, I was like, which one do you think was more terrifying? And he said, well, obviously to me, the dogman encounter, because I was trapped inside that little building, you know, that deer stand. He's like, whereas, you know, I didn't feel as threatened by the Bigfoot. He goes, but both of them, you know, to me, from the description my friends gave and from what I saw, he goes, both of them were pretty terrifying. My great uncle seemed to really have a hatred for Bigfoot because of what it did to his horse, you know, when he was young. But so that's that story, you know, and that's pretty creepy. I mean, not far from one another either, you know, that same territory, you know, you got like a Bigfoot. Now, we got a story when Anthony and I were at the paranormal, what do you call it? The paranormal, not a conference.
What was
it?
Over at the Black Swan Inn.
The Black Swan
Inn. San Antonio.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a conference. It was called
convention.
A festival.
Convention.
It was called a festival.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of people there. And there was a lady that gave me and Ken Gerhard a story, and I don't know what happened to it. She gave us the story, and it was in that general area in the Rio Grande Valley, and she claimed that she saw a Bigfoot, but it was green. So I thought that was really weird. It was like a green creature. And she actually put it on an audio file, and I don't know what I did with it, man. And that's a shame. But, you know, moving on from that, I mean, unless you guys have anything to add to that, we're going to go to the next story. But what do you guys think?
I mean, I think it's pretty sad that the guy had to watch his horse being killed, that was the only way he could get away. Because, I mean, I've never owned a horse, but I would imagine that the connection you develop with that animal is something akin to a connection that you develop with your dog, because you're going to be doing so much work with that horse. If you're a rancher or a farmer, there's a lot that you're going to depend on that horse for. You know, you almost can't make a living without him. I have a lot of sympathy for that guy for what he went through, and I don't blame him for just absolutely hating these Bigfoot dogmen, these creatures, whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's definitely, like, I've heard it's a deep connection with horses, especially because, I don't know, for whatever reason, but, like, a rider and the horse gets really, really, really connected.
Yeah.
So that definitely sucks to hear that, and I don't know about y'all, but this Tony guy seems like quite the individual. No, but while you were telling that story, I kept thinking, like, what if he couldn't come? What if he couldn't come because something was happening? And I was just thinking the whole time, like, what happened to Tony? Like, what's the reason why he couldn't make it? So it's crazy to think that he also got ambushed.
He's fortunate because he got out and just,
they're all
half asleep, I mean, and wandered around and looks underneath the truck and sees these weird looking legs.
I mean, they both were knocked out too. Like, all three of them were knocked out and woke up in the wrong time. Or I guess just in time, I guess.
And what's crazy though, where the Tony was, I didn't ever got about this part. There was where he was. There was a deer stand, and they had split up in different combinations of three people. And he was with Tony the day before, and they had something they thought was throwing rocks at their deer stand. Yeah,
yeah.
You can imagine like a dog man throwing rocks, and it's just, I don't know. It's a weird story, but
that's just like you start. I can imagine thinking like. Imagine you go out into the woods and like first day, you're like, oh, this is kind of weird. Second day, you're like, yeah, I don't like the vibe out here. And then third day, you finally see a dog man and it all clicks that this thing's been stalking you for 3 days. Like, that's pretty terrifying.
Yeah. And this story I'm going to tell you now, this one comes out of south of San Antonio, Choke Canyon State Park. Have you guys ever heard of that?
I haven't.
Yeah, it's south of San Antonio, and there is a reservoir there. It's called Choke Canyon Reservoir, and this story comes out of that. This one, I don't know what it was, because these people had gone out there. They decided they wanted to go through there and visit. It was just a day trip, and it was a family. It was a dad and his wife, and this is the guy that told me the story. He was a dad, and it was his wife and his son. His son was 16 years old, and they went out there. And they thought it was a really nice drive, so I think they were heading down. Let me see, the highway was 72. It was like a road, and like I said, it's just south of San Antonio. It's not just south of San Antonio, but it's south of San Antonio, and there's like a peninsula there, and there's like a bird sanctuary. And so they went there and they stayed at an RV park called, I think he said it was called Arrowhead. And so what ended up happening, the first night they were out there and they were fishing and just hanging out and there was nothing going on. Everything was fine. The second night, something began to stalk them as they were going down the trail from the RV park, going to the lake to fish. They heard like twigs snapping and branches and whatever. And his dad turned and said, stop. And his dad was a Vietnam vet. And his dad was very astute. He was a tracker. He knew like stuff, you know? And so his dad was also half Native American. And he told him, he's like, dude, something's following us. There's something here. And he goes, we need to stop. And whatever it was, they saw like a quick glimpse of it, like run behind a tree. Now, one of the things that this guy who told me this story, his name is Edward told me, he goes, dude, we lived at that time in a haunted house. We lived in a house that was haunted, and I would see these shadow people. He goes, and this thing moved like one of those. And so my first instinct really was that something had followed us from our house, and they lived in San Antonio, in South San Antonio. So he thought maybe this was like some sort of spirit or something. But he just, you know, his dad was just like, oh, maybe it's just our imagination. He's like, I don't hear anything now. Let's go. Let's keep walking. And he felt like his dad was lying. Like his dad was just trying to put his mind at ease. And his dad was like determined to try to have fun, have a good time, and not, you know, not scare him or whatever. So they ended up walking down this trail, and then they end up going up to the lake. And then while they were there fishing, it was starting to get dark. And then they encountered another couple people who were walking, and it was another guy with his son, and they were coming around one side of the lake. And they were all four standing there, and then they hear this weird sound that sounded like a roar coming from the other side of the lake. And he said, dude, if you took like a lion and a gorilla and like mixed it together, that's how it sounded. So he didn't know what it was. And they all just kind of looked at each other. And the other guy with his son, they were like, well, time to go. And he's like, we've been hearing that like for the last couple of days. I don't know what that is. And so he was walking back to the RV with his dad. And he said, dad, do you think that there could be a lion out there? You know, and he goes, I was 16 years old. I didn't really know, you know? And my dad was like, no, there's no lions running around loose around, you know, that's not what that is. It could be a mountain lion. He said years later, he heard a mountain lion out in Big Bend National Park. He goes, it didn't sound anything like that.
No, it's very, you're not going to forget.
No, it's very unique. Yeah. You're not going to forget it. And so he was telling me about it. And I was like, yeah, I know exactly what that is. And so he said that his dad was just acting kind of weird. You know, he'd never seen his dad afraid before. So he said that night they went back to the RV, and I guess they were grilling, making something to eat, whatever. And something walked right up out of the clearing, into the clearing, right out of the woods, right up to their RV. And his mother opened the door and was screaming and said, there's something on the other side of the RV. And him and his dad ran around to the other side, and they see this thing move around the other side of the RV. And his mother comes out and she's screaming and she's like, it's on the side of the RV. Y'all get inside. So then his dad decides to grab his gun. He had a rifle with him and confront whatever this thing was. When his dad came running back inside, he immediately jumped in. They just left their grill. They left everything there and they just got in the RV and they just took off. And he's like, dude, what about, he's, I don't care what they can have, whatever it is. He said that it was like maybe 4 or 5 years later, finally, when he was like in his early 20s, and he asked his dad, he said, dad, and his dad was dying at that time. He was really sick. He had gotten cancer. And he said, he asked his dad, he's like, my dad's on his deathbed. And I asked my dad, I said, what was it that you saw? And he said, dude, it was the devil. It was like this black creature. And get this, it wasn't like a Bigfoot type creature. That's why I said, I don't know what it was. It had a muzzle, kind of like a dog man would. It had straight legs, but it was hunched over, and it had little tiny horns on its head. And he said that the horns were like yellow looking, and it had these gnarly looking teeth. And he said that the teeth were like a bunch of little jaggedy looking teeth, not real big fangs or whatever. And he said that the eyes were like yellow looking. And he said, I don't know what it was. So he goes, we got out of there. And so he said years later, he went back with his girlfriend and she was pregnant. And he said, dude, and I was trying to figure out a way to tell my mother that we were going to have a kid and that we weren't married. My mom's a devout Catholic. And he's like, so we go out there and we take my mother out there and we're going to, you know, whatever. And so we broke the news to her and she was happy, but then she was like, y'all need to get married now. You know, whatever. And he goes, and while we're talking, we hear this roaring sound coming from across the lake, again, across the reservoir. And he's like, immediately we all just looked at each other and his mother was like, immediately started giving him a lecture on like, oh, this is because what you did, you know? And he was like, wow, okay, so there's some demon out here roaming around. And his mother says, your father always told me that thing he saw that time. She goes, it was... And so he goes, Mom, he's told me what he saw. What did you see? But here's what's weird. She said that what she saw was more goat-like. So she said it looked kind of like a goat on two legs, but like big and massive. And it was about 7 foot tall. And so maybe what that was a goat man. That's what we were dealing with. So I don't know. I wonder about that story. I mean, I think that could be. What they saw out there and what his dad saw. Your thoughts?
I'm just glad someone responded properly to that. The guy didn't play around. He didn't stick around to try and get a picture of it. He didn't go investigate for footprints. Yeah. He didn't do anything. He just said, I don't care what we're leaving behind. We're leaving now.
Yeah, yep. That's it.
That's exactly what I would have done. I don't care. Let it have the barbecue pit or whatever, you know, whatever it is we left. I don't care. I'm leaving everything and we're going home.
Yeah. Yeah. And now here's another one from South Texas. Do you have anything to add to that, Tony, before we move on?
No, well, I agree entirely.
Yeah. So here's another one from South Texas. And I got this one from Edward's cousin who said, he goes, you got to interview my cousin, Riley. He's got a story, and he was out messing around, and this was right south of Mathis, okay? Now, there again, there's a lake there, and it's called Lake Corpus Christi. And just south of Mathis, his cousin, that's where his cousin lived, was outside of there. And he said this was years ago, you know, we were young. He's like, and it was crazy because it happened like 2 days after I had left to go home for the summer. He's like, and it was right before school started. And he goes, and my cousin had told this story. We were at a family reunion. And he said that him and his girlfriend were driving around with a couple of their friends. And they almost hit this creature that was in the middle of a dirt road. And it was down eating something. And they thought it was a vulture. But when they got up to it, they realized that it had this like membranous wings and that it had this weird looking head. And when they got close to it and they honked their horn, it raised its wings up. They said the wingspan had to have been at least 12 to 14 feet.
Holy crap.
And then it had this humongous head and it was just devouring what looked like a small deer. And then it just raised up and it took off flying over their vehicle. And I said, what was it? He goes, I don't know. It was a reddish brown color. He's like, I looked into all these different, like, because it looked like a dinosaur. Mm-hmm. And he said, I looked into all these different accounts of people seeing these things. He's like, and there was one other one that was kind of close to where we lived. And it was the same description. He said, the closest I could come to was a pteranodon. And he's like, and this isn't a really long encounter, but I thought this was interesting.
Yeah.
And he said, we were out there and it was right there and it flew right over the lake. He goes, and we watched it fly away. He's like, and then he goes, I was a senior in high school. He's like, and we were playing baseball. He goes, when we played Robstown, he's like, where one of his cousin's best friend that he had met at a party years ago, they were friends. He goes, and we were playing baseball. He goes, and after the game, we all went to the middle of the field and we were talking. And then he goes, our coaches were talking everything. He's like, and then I start talking to this guy. I can't remember what he said the guy's name was. But anyway, he said, me and the guy started talking. He goes, dude, he goes, hey, I got to tell you something. He goes, I heard that you had an encounter with something that looked like a dinosaur. And so he says, because that was his cousin's best friend, whatever. He said, your cousin was telling me about it. His cousin's name was Gary. And he said, Gary told me that you, and so he goes, I'm going to tell you, man. He goes, a couple years ago when I was out at Lake Corpus Christi and we were fishing, he's like, this thing came flying up out of the water and it just like flew up over our heads and just was looking down. And then it like turned, circled around, swooped back down into the water, was under the water for a while and then came back up. And he goes, it looked just like what, you know, a pteranodon. And he did the same thing. Like he looked it up and figured out that that's what he thought it was. And so the South Texas, I mean, we're kind of doing South Texas here, right? But he said, you know, South Texas, there's all these reports of these creatures. And I told him, I said, yeah, I get a lot of weird reports of dinosaurs in South Texas. I can do just a show on dinosaurs in South Texas. But this is a potluck. So anyways, I don't know. I mean, do you guys think that these things could still exist? I mean, you get multiple stories of these flying dinosaur-looking creatures in South Texas.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible because, like, people really don't have a proper concept of, like, the vastness of land in general. But especially in Texas and in the United States, you'll get people saying, oh, I've hunted in the woods my whole life and I ain't never seen nothing. Well, the fact is, like, you haven't traversed millions upon millions of acres of land. Like, there are places within our very state that no human being has traversed for centuries. So I think it's possible for an animal that's supposed to be extinct to still exist somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you just hear too many stories all around about weird creatures that match the same things you're seeing in these museums, and you can't just look at that and be like, oh, they're just having dreams or they're just having nightmares. No, I mean, you can't look at these creatures and not like see the evidence of them roaming outside of where you might normally find them, or you find, you know, stories of the Loch Ness Monster, and you're supposed to look at all that and you're supposed to believe that there's no possibility of anything ancient coming back. I mean, what about these stories of people running into saber-tooths? I mean, yeah, on one side it could be that they somehow survived, but you could also look at it like, what if it was some kind of time thing, you know, that we've talked about before, where these creatures don't just like run around a little bit, where it's instead where you see them and then they just disappear right in front of you. Like, how do you explain that? Like, that has to be something that has to do with either altered dimensions or time, like time blips or whatever. But you can't just ignore all that, I guess, and kind of just assume that people are seeing something crazy.
When it comes to sightings of like dinosaurs or extinct creatures, like I think that's usually just like a remnant population of something that we thought was extinct. I mean, like my whole thing is this, you could live a 100-year lifespan, right? And every single day of that 100 years, let's say that you came out of the womb just knowing how to walk. And you live for 100 years, and for every single day, you just walk and traverse land, just open land, plains, mountains, hills, forests, all of it. And you would not even scratch the surface of the vastness of the amount of land that's just here in Texas, much less the United States.
Well, and the thing you're not, you know, speaking about is that's land above seawater. Land below seawater is ridiculous. Like, there's so much of that we haven't explored. So you can't really...
Talking about just in the ocean?
In the ocean, yeah. I mean, it's a ridiculous...
Kind of a weird way to put it, land below sea level.
Yeah, I mean, what else would you...
I mean, there is land below sea level. That's different than the ocean. Hmm? New Orleans is below sea level.
Well, I guess... all right, whatever. But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Instead of ruining my point.
Just say the ocean.
Well, I was also talking about lakes. I'm also talking about rivers. I mean, Loch Ness, it doesn't live in the ocean.
It lives in water.
Yeah, so...
Say like, water.
Okay, but I was talking about all the unexplored land in the ocean.
Just say water. Okay, well,
speaking of aquatic cryptids, let's move on here. So this one comes out of a place called Laguna Atascosa National Wildlife Preserve. And this one comes from a girl named Abby and her boyfriend. And they were actually out on a boat. And I think she said that they weren't supposed to be or something. They weren't supposed to be there. I can't remember exactly how she worded it. But anyway, the story is it's a pretty good one. But we've talked before about our friend Starscream having seen something in that area. And then I think Chief came on the show and talked about the Cadejo in that area near Port Aransas. And now this area here would have been just, I think, to the northwest of Padre, South Padre. So South Padre Island. So that's way down in South Texas, and it's on the coast. And that laguna there, it's like it's kind of like an inland lake that kind of parallels, well, it is, and it parallels the ocean. You can see it on a map. And they were there, and they were, you know, her boyfriend was fishing in the laguna. And I can't remember if he didn't have his fishing license or he wasn't supposed to be there or something. So they kind of got off into like a little cove there. And they see somebody in a boat that was coming towards them, and they think that it was a game warden, like was checking people's licenses. So they kind of are hanging out in this little cove, and they see this creature that they can only describe as a crocodile with no legs. And instead of legs, it had like flippers, and it was up on the shore. And when it saw them, it went down into the water and began to head for them very quickly. And she said that it looked like it was about 15 feet long and probably weighed like several hundred pounds.
Wow.
And she said, dude, this thing was prehistoric looking. It had a weird looking like a muzzle on it. She said muzzle, but I know that's not, you know, I don't know. I don't
like
know
if snout.
The correct term would be snout, but she said it was like a muzzle, but she said the thing was like had a very rounded muzzle, but it was very pointed too, you know. And she said that it had like these flippers, like these little rounded looking flippers.
Yeah.
And so I asked her, I was like, you know, like a mosasaur, all these different things. Nothing that she looked at fit the description of what she saw. And then he got in his boat and took off. And luckily for him, the authorities were messing with someone else. And so he just booked it and got out of there and got back onto the shore. She said they weren't in a very big boat, but this thing eventually followed them for a while. You could see it right above the water. Then it ducked down and it was under the water. And she was like, that was really scary because we didn't know where it was or where it was going to reappear. And she said that it was like, it had a weird looking tail, like an up and down tail, like almost like a fin, you know? But she said, literally, if you took a crocodile and just gave it like a more streamlined body with like a very thin up and down tail, you know, then she said that take it's kind of round too. Take the tail and kind of make it like a round shape, kind of where it sticks out of the water. Mm-hmm. And the instead of legs, give it flippers. And she said, but it was able to move those flippers for its locomotion to get it off of the shore. Greenish brown color, just really weird, man. Really odd looking creature.
Yeah, with that snout, I'm picturing like an alligator, like a big, huge alligator gar with flippers.
Yeah, something like that.
But a tail instead of a tail fin. Just an alligator gar is just—it's a hideous, gnarly, ugly, dude. Nasty looking fish. If you give it like a tail instead of a tail fin and put flippers on it, that just looks like a monster.
It's creepy, man. Like, there's enough weird stuff on land, but the water can hold all kinds of stuff.
The water's terrifying.
Yeah.
It is very terrifying. So, I thought that was a really weird story. I don't know. You're not safe anywhere from these creatures.
Yeah.
You know? So, you got these flying creatures. You got aquatic creatures. You got freaking, you know, hairy, human-like creatures.
And if you stay inside, the ghosts will get you, so you can't go anywhere.
Can't do nothing.
You go underground, and the reptilians will get you.
Yeah, you can't hide from them.
Or the kobolds.
Yeah. Yeah, the little dog men, the little ones. Yeah. I don't know, man. That story was freaky, man, but she gave me that story. That happened back in 1998. She said it was a long time ago, but still, no less scary. So moving on from that one, there's another one I got. very similar to that. Now, this one happened near, off of Rockport. And Rockport is like across the water from Port Aransas. So, yeah, this one happened near Rockport. And I remember I was going to tell this one at one point, and I never got around to telling it. And so here it is. And it's not a real long one either. There were some guys that were fishing, and they were just like, if you go to Rockport, you can fish right there off of the coastline, you know, just like you can Port Aransas. But Rockport is like the way it's made. It's like there's like this, if you look at it on a map, you can see it's almost like it's there's this huge landmass that goes across, almost like it's cutting off the ocean, but it's not. There's a really slim, like thin area at the very, very south where, you know, things can come up and go in. And so whatever this was, it was like the way that it was described to me, they saw it come right up alongside their boat. Very creepy looking thing. It was like almost like it had like a shark, but with like crocodilian legs.
That's weird.
Very weird. And that it was able to come up along the side of their boat. And they were like, that looks like a shark. But that it, when it got closer, it didn't have like the fins coming off the sides of it. It had these weird looking legs. But then in the back, there were no legs. So it was weird. It was very weird. And they saw it, and they observed it for like a couple of minutes. And then the guy was like, dude, I'm going to get my cell phone out. This wasn't a long time ago. It was like 2012. He's like, I'm going to get my cell phone out and take a picture of it. And then it just like submerged and was gone. And then they saw it like go down into the water and disappear. And they were right there on the like beach, you know?
Yeah.
And it came so close to them, and it crawled up onto the like a rock. And then just like went back down to the water. They said it wasn't overly large. It was about 6 foot. And they said that the weirdest thing about it was that it had like human-like eyes. And when it looked at them, they thought they could see like a humanness to the eyes. And yeah, it was a freaky creature, man. They said it was like brown, like a bronze color. And it was just gone. But yeah, not a real long sighting. But yeah, it was pretty intense. Yeah. Pretty weird.
Not very long, but it's a pretty ugly one.
That one doesn't even like make sense, because I was like, the biology of that one kind of astounds me.
Freakazoid creature.
Yeah, it's like someone.
Yeah, like it had like weird looking, like kind of like alligator looking legs, you know, and like no back legs.
Yeah, that's the part that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, there are creatures that do kind of look like that. They swim around, you know, like tadpoles or something. Excuse me. They look like tadpoles or something, and they have like front legs. I can't remember what they're called. But yeah, anyway, I don't know. That's weird. And then last here, I got a story. This one was really freaky. It was right outside of Kingsville, Texas, in between Bishop and Kingsville. And this is cool. Because I just got this one recently. And remember, we were talking about the Minotaur, and then we had talked about one of these down in Mexico. And it was, I believe the episode was called The Devil Lives in Durango. So this is cool. And it's not a really long story, but it is pretty cool. I guess it might not be so cool if it happened to you, but I think it's a pretty cool story. And luckily, it didn't attack or do anything crazy. But these guys were driving, and they were going down the highway, and it was on Highway 77 in between Bishop and Kingsville, closer to Kingsville. And this thing, as they were driving, heading south, was in the middle of the road. And as it got closer and closer and closer, they could see that it was a black creature, well, blackish brown. And as they got closer, they said, dude, this thing was, it had a bull head on it. Like it had horns, big long horns. And the way that they described it was like if you took a Texas longhorn with its head like that, with big old horns, and just gave it humongous shoulders and like of a man, and then the lower body with like the back legs of a bull. And it was just standing up. And he said it was probably about 9 foot tall. And it was just standing in the middle of the highway, and it was raining. Not pouring down, but it was drizzly, you know, and it was in the middle of winter. And they could see this thing clearly, like in their lights on. They had the high beams, and they said, "Dude, it looked just like a Minotaur, like you would think of like a Minotaur." And then it just turned and it took off to the east of the highway and was just out of sight. So it was only there for a few minutes, because they were getting closer and closer. When they got close enough to like make out what it was and like get a grasp of what they were looking at, it disappeared. It took off into the brush. But I thought that was interesting. So now we have another Minotaur story.
Yeah.
But it didn't do anything. I mean, there was nothing really.
It was just kind of there.
Yeah, it was just kind of there. I mean, I guess it would be a better story if it attacked them. And but for their sake, I guess.
I don't know. With Minotaurs, it's like, I don't even know if that's something that people are going to get a story from. I feel like with a Minotaur attacks, and it just, you hear about it from the destruction it caused, not from someone surviving.
Well, you got to get back in touch with them and tell them to go back down there and get attacked by it. To get us a better story.
Yeah, I did make a joke. I was like, dude, you didn't stop your truck and just get out and run into the woods trying to find it, you know?
We can deputize them as our boots on the ground journalists.
Yeah, take the risks, you know?
Yeah. We'll reap the rewards and the profits from you taking the risks.
So that's pretty much it, folks. That's our South Texas potluck, I guess, cryptid. Potluck.
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very weird stories. These stories, now I'm going to do another one of these and follow up on some stuff, definitely with the flying creatures. There's a bunch of these. Another thing we didn't touch on because I want to do an entire episode on it are these raptor/baby T-Rex type creatures that you get different variations of down in South Texas.
Oh, you got to catch those when they're small so you can kick them and stomp them.
Well, small for a T-Rex, but is bigger than a man.
I'm talking about baby raptors. You can't let them grow up raptors.
We're not talking about baby.
You got to find them and just like
these things are bigger than people.
You got to soccer kick them or like punt them like a football.
Keep going with that. Hopefully to see what happens. He goes to kick one and it latches onto him and eats the bottom of his leg off. And then for the rest of your life, you have a story to tell. Well, I saw something that looked like a baby raptor, so I thought I'd kick it, and it turned into like a rabid animal and tore the bottom of my leg off.
I mean, so I try to pull a couple WWE moves on
it. I would kick it if I had no other choice. I mean, I would shoot it first, but, those things will close a distance. And at that point, I
got a whole scenario laid out for this thing.
I really don't want to shoot down towards my foot, so I'm just going to have to kick it and like create some distance so that I can shoot it.
You got to worry
about stab it.
The alignment of the stars and the moon at that time, though, because you don't want the gleam of the moonlight to hit you.
You can say what you want, but shooting. If a raptor attacks you, you're getting killed and I'm not.
If that ever happens, I'll be make sure to compare notes with you.
I'm prepared for a raptor attack, for a little person attack, for anything smaller than me attack. You're just going to
attack little people?
Anything smaller than you attack? Yeah. There's a lot of things smaller than you that are still way more vicious.
Except for a chimpanzee. All right? I'm just going to run away from a chimp.
You can't get away from them. They're fast.
You can't get away from a chimp.
Well, I'm not going to be in the area where a chimp can close the distance between me.
But you're going to be around raptors kicking them?
You're gonna go to Raptor Island again? let's go to Raptor Island. Let's see what happens.
Well, no, but you know where chimps are. You don't know where a raptor's gonna be.
Well, anyways, I don't know. South Texas is pretty creepy. Got a lot of weird stuff going on, man. I mean, I got so many stories out of there. We could do two more of these. But a lot of like dinosaur stuff, man.
Yeah, I've been hearing that a lot down from the South Texas. A lot of like
flying, swimming,
flying ones, running ones,
running and whatever else. I would think like what happened with that dogman creature would be pretty terrifying. But I don't know, man. I'd be pretty scared of those creatures in the water too.
Flying ones, I think, would scare me.
Really?
Because you can't really get away.
You can't get away from any of them.
If you have cover, you can get away from a flying one. But like the ones on land, you can't get away. If you enter a building or something, if you can get into it, they can get into it. But if something's like flying, I don't know, like that would still be scary, but it seemed like it'd be easier to escape if you're near shelter.
I don't know.
Water seems like the most easy to avoid for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just stay out of it. But then if you have that thing that was on the land, it could get up onto the land and go back into the water, like alligators and crocodiles. They can do that. So, I mean, I've even heard that they can move really fast, too. Like, they can come out of the water and, like, run pretty quick. On a video, like a crocodile being, it was getting attacked by lions, and it ran fast into the water.
They're crazy fast in a straight line. That's why they say, like, run zigzags or, like, running in wide circles. Mm-hmm. It's because they can't turn that well. But if they're going straight, they're insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, running downhill, basically. So, anything else to add before we call it a night?
Nah.
Man.
Well, folks, thank you. That's all the time we have for tonight for Paranormal Roundtable. Everybody here who's listening, don't forget to like and subscribe. And we have several friends that have podcasts too. Bigfoot Michigan Rob, check out his show, BMR. Check out our friend Bart Nunley on Wednesday nights. Our friend Lyle Blackburn, who's got a podcast. Chris Garitano with Off to the Witch. Blondes and Booze. Who else? Tex from Texas Front Porch. And if I've forgotten anybody or missed anybody, don't take offense. It's just, you know, there's so many. Bettina Moss, Crypto Normal, and
Curious Realm. Bettina Moss, Christopher Jordan.
Curious Realm with Christopher Jordan. These are people to listen to when you're not listening to us. Thank you for everything y'all have done. Thank you for the support. Be sure and check out our Patreon. And buying a shirt or a hoodie is a good way to advertise and support the show at the same time. You're supporting the show and you're giving us, like, you know, some advertisement, you know. So check it out. We appreciate you. And also, you don't have to donate, but it's appreciated. I have to say that it is appreciated. Check us out on the live stream Fridays and Sundays. And thank you and good night.